So I'm looking at the time because I want to give us some time this morning to pray together and commit to the Lord. So put on your seat belts. Put on your safety belts. Here we go. Ready? We're going to talk this morning. I want to start there. Sometimes I like to build up to it. So just pretend you didn't see the announcement. So start with this. And this... erase. Reset. Go back to the preceding one. Start right here. But you already know what we're going to talk about this morning. And I want to go ahead and say right now, please, if you're thinking, okay, a water baptism sermon again, please don't think that. This is a time this morning as we look together at the Word of God to, if you're not yet a Christian, you're going to hear something for you this morning. If you are a Christian and you're baptized in water, you're going to hear something for you this morning. If you are somewhere in the middle and you're not quite sure, you're going to hear something for you this morning. So we're walking along in the footsteps of Jesus. If we go back in time to, let me just roughly say 2,000 years, when Jesus has risen from the dead, Bible's very clear about this time. He has risen from the dead early that Sunday morning, and for 40 days, he is with his disciples. And then he's going to go back to heaven. Here's the thing. We look back and we say, okay, he's with them 40 days. They didn't know that. All they knew was Jesus is back, but it was Jesus in a different form. It was Jesus who would suddenly appear behind locked, closed doors, and they were behind the doors. Well, how did that happen? Or it would be Jesus on the shore in the early morning darkness as they were in their disappointment and frustration and tiredness coming back to shore totally empty-handed, and they'd fished all night, no fish. And a voice that they don't yet recognize calls into the, it floats across the water in that early morning, basically saying, some translations say men, but it's not really the word man. It's really the word boys or children. Boys, do you have any fish? And then when the miraculous catch of fish come into the nets, when he said, oh, put your net on the other side, then John turns to Peter and he says, it's the Lord. Or very mundanely, he walks up beside Cleopas and the other disciple, walking away from Jerusalem with broken hearts, even though they've heard wonderful news, right? They've heard people say, we went to the tomb. The stone was rolled away. His body wasn't there. The wrappings were there. And then we heard some of the women say they saw angels. And then another one said, we've seen the Lord. But it just doesn't make any sense. And their natural minds, our natural minds that want to know, our proud, arrogant thoughts, like, I got to know the answer. I've got to figure it out. I've got to know what's behind every closed door. I've got to have it all done. So often cannot and will not see Jesus. Is that not true? It's true. It's true. And he walks up behind them. He starts talking with them. And then, eat with us. This stranger that seems friendly, eat with us. And so this person sits down with them, breaks bread. And he's gone. That wasn't very... There we go. And then he's gone. And they say, it was Jesus. And they said, weren't our hearts burning within us? So here's this Jesus appearing, disappearing in an unusual way, but it's Jesus in his resurrected body. It's Jesus in the bodies that you and I will one day have. Guarantee. For sure. It's certain. Isn't that going to be great? It will be great. No pain. No this. No that. The only difference is that the body of Jesus for eternity will show the scars for the price he paid that you and I might be free. that you and I might walk in light, that you and I might have our sins forgiven and not live with condemnation and guilt, that you and I don't have to pay for what we've done because Jesus paid the price, that you and I might have eternity with the one who brought us out of darkness. So his wounds are going to always be there. You and I, in that day, we're going to have no wounds, no scars. Any of you have scars this morning? This is not in my notes, by the way, but we're going to get there. Any of you have wounds this morning? You say, on my heart. What? Those are going to be gone. Those are going to be gone one day. Have any of you have wounds on your body? If we could talk with Francia this morning. Francia, we love you. Francia would now tell you, yes, I have wounds. And she didn't want them. Here, 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 here. But Francia, we love you and we're praying for you. But all of us have wounds and scars, right? As far as I know, when we get to heaven, all of that will be gone. Only Jesus is going to have those. As a loving, constant, living reminder of the grace in which we live. And so here's this Jesus, these 40 days, appearing and disappearing. They don't yet know he's going to go to heaven. The Bible, it doesn't seem to say that in any way. And then he's talking with them, and then he goes out. He leads them outside of Jerusalem. They'd gone to Galilee, then come back down. He leads them out, right, to the Mount of Olives. And they're watching him. And what does he do? Up he goes. Up he goes. But he's already given them a promise. You wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you a gift. Isn't it great that earlier, when they are still struggling to see, believe, and obey, that was our message last week, right? When they were still struggling to see, believe, and obey, they saw but didn't really understand, and they didn't really believe, and so they didn't obey. So even though Jesus had told them, go to Galilee, I'll meet you there. Even though the angel sent the message, go tell the disciples, go to Galilee, I'll meet you there. Even though the women say, Jesus told us, go to Galilee and he'll meet us there, they don't do it, right? They don't do it. But now, when Jesus says, you're going to go into all the world, but stay here for the gift that my Father will send you, because not many days from now, you will be baptized with fire and the Holy Spirit. This time, they obey, right? This time, they obey. And they wait in Jerusalem. How long will they wait? Not many days. I don't know. What do you think is not many days? By day four, I might get impatient. They wait 10 days. So here, but we're here in this time. And I want you to see a verse again. Okay, so here we go. Now, here. From death to life, the importance of water baptism. And this, of course, is what we're going to talk about this morning. This is why I'm wearing this shirt, okay? Front and back, two color, looking pretty good. We've got an upgrade. And we read what Luke says in Acts verse 3. We've read it before. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we've been talking about his appearing, right? We have not talked about when he speaks about the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about that for just a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about water baptism. Just before he leaves, most of us know this, Jesus is talking with his disciples. Here is some of his teaching. How many of you have this memorized? I know that Jason and Bethany have this memorized because they're missionaries. Maybe you have to memorize it before you can leave your home country, right? Maybe. And then you have to recite it. But Jesus talks to his disciples, and here's one of the teachings, but this is one of the big ones. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Stop right there. Do you know what that means? No one is excluded from the good news. No one's too bad. No culture is too awful. No person is too far gone. No one is too great a sinner. No one has gone so far from God that they cannot receive the good news. And Jesus, amen. And so, you know what? If that is true for people that are out there, how much more for those of us who are in here this morning. Amen? Amen. So go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Let me say one other thing here. There's much more here, but let me just, when you are about the Father's business, when you are doing what God has called you to do, when you are going where God has called you to go, whether it is to another country, whether it is going to visit somebody who's sick or dying, whether it is going to talk with a friend, whether it is here, there, it does not matter where. When you are going where he has led you and is calling you, you have the promise of his special presence with you. This is different from Jesus saying, I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That is his promise to all Christians. This is his promise to those who go in his name and are led by his Spirit. It's pretty great. It's pretty great. And that's why we can go. And that's why we can speak. I'd like to talk more about that, but I want us to get all the way into baptism. But I want us to see something this morning. So there's so much more here. We're going to talk about baptism because they know about water baptism. They don't know about spirit baptism yet, Holy Spirit baptism and fire baptism. So in 2 weeks, it will be Pentecost Sunday, and Neil's going to be talking about Pentecost and spirit baptism and the baptism of fire. Amen. That's two weeks from today. But we're going to talk about water baptism today because this is part of the, let me back up again, speaking about the kingdom of God. So let's go up and look at this again. And I want to answer some questions today. And if you have a question, you can ask. So if you're a young person here this morning, welcome. And I'm glad you're here. And this is for you. If you've not yet been baptized, this is for you. If you've already been baptized, this is for you. And we're going to see what the Bible, the Bible says. So keep this up here, and I want to ask you some questions. We're going to take a poll, okay? So, and you're free to look around, okay? No shame on anybody. I'm not asking about where you were baptized. I'm not asking about how you were baptized. I'm not asking about your age when you were baptized. If you have been water baptized, would you please raise your hand? Raise your hand. Keep it up just a minute. If you have been water baptized. Okay. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Okay. If you remember when you were water baptized, keep your hand up. If you don't remember when you were water baptized, put your hand down. Ida, you don't remember? Okay. So, if you just put your hand down, you know what that means? That means either you have a really bad memory, or you were baptized as an infant, right? It means one of those things. Okay, you can put your hands down. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. I promise no condemnation, no guilt, okay? But we're going to see what the Bible says. So let me get some feedback from some of you this morning. Where were you baptized? I was baptized in a river, and I was so scared a snake was going to bite me. Because I was in South Alabama, and there were snakes in the river. I was so scared. I was trying to think about Jesus, but all I could think about was snakes. But it worked. I was baptized. So I was in a river. Okay, somebody else. Where were you baptized? Fourth floor. I still remember. Keith was baptized the same time Janice was baptized. Fourth floor, when we had a baptistry up there, you know, that's built inside a church. And I remember because I thought Keith was going to have some sort of seizure because the water was so cold. It was so cold. He was there like that. And I'd like to tell you more, but I got to save the time. So another time. And Janice almost couldn't be baptized because the water was so cold, and she's really big and strong, tall and strong. And the water was a shock. Okay, so fourth floor. Somebody else, where were you baptized? Stephen, where were you baptized?
Rebaptized in Tianjin.
In Tianjin. Was it when Mom and Dad were there? Oh, in a bathtub.
Yes.
I think 30 people in a bathtub like this this size, as the color of the water gradually changed. Right? And you know, you all know how particular Stephen is. I hope he got to be baptized first. They were excited. Okay? Other people, where were you baptized? Sheko Beach. So in the ocean, right? In the ocean. Kim? Clearwater Bay. Okay, so ocean. May?
Newcastle, UK.
What venue? What? Oh, Church of England. Bathtub? Were you sprinkled? You were sprinkled? This message is for you today. Okay, John. In a jungle river? In Borneo. Chris.
Providence Village, Marikina.
Swimming pool. Swimming pool. How many of you were baptized in a swimming pool? Okay. Right? There was, anybody else? Where?
Roots and First, the bathtub. In a bathtub.
In a bathtub. That's right. So a lot of you, if you were perhaps in China, you were probably baptized in a bathtub, maybe in a bathtub, or maybe in Hong Kong. So I was looking that up. I was thinking about some of these other things. I was talking to one of the pastors in Philippines, and she came to me because there was a water baptism. She said, "Pastor Jen, should I be baptized?" Because we were at Pastor Adela's. She said, "I'd be baptized. I was baptized in a drum, you know, like this." So all I can figure is you'd have to do this. And then that. And I said, "Were you a Christian when you were baptized?" She said, "Yes." "Did you know what it was?" "Yes." I said, "You don't need to be baptized." "Oh, okay." Okay. But I'm wondering if your baptism somehow falls short, because Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Was anybody here baptized in the Jordan River? It became a fad in the U.S. years ago. I don't know if it still is. I'm trying not to make fun, but I'm kind of making fun. They would take trips to Israel, and then they would all be rebaptized in the Jordan River. But if they couldn't do that because it was really expensive, the pastor would get a little bottle of water from the Jordan River, and he would bring it back, and then he would fill up the baptistry in the church, and then he'd pour the water in, and then everybody who wanted to would be baptized in the Jordan River. So I am not an aquatic scientist, but I'm pretty sure that water never touched the body of Jesus from 2,000 years earlier. So we're kind of laughing at that, and we're talking about these things, but it's leading to what we are talking about today. So our locations can be varied, but as we look at this and as we think about it, I have a question for us this morning. We're baptized in these different ways. Some of you, because of your culture, your religious cultural background, you perhaps were sprinkled as a child, right? You may have been sprinkled as a child. I was doing a little bit of reading, and you know what I was thinking about that? I was thinking it's a good thing that you were not born a long, long time ago, because before 1311 and the Council of Ravenna, infants were immersed. Imagine immersing a three-day-old infant. That was before 1311. So be glad that you were born now. But we are going to talk about this. And so if we look very carefully, not even carefully, just taking a look at what the Bible says about baptism, this is what I want us to come to this morning. And I think we can all come to agreement, because we were baptized in a lot of different places. We may have been baptized in different ways. But what we want to do is to say, what does God say about baptism, right? And what does he show in his word about baptism? What is essential and what is non-essential? And let's just start with, first off, is it really important? Is it really important? And that may be a question some of you have, because some of you may say, "Hey, I'm really born again. I'm really a Christian, and I haven't been water baptized, but I, I, I feel okay. I feel fine. Do I really need to be water baptized? The Bible tells us that. And so it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God says, right? Well, that was really disencouraging for a pastor. What matters is what God says, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so let's see what God says. So first question real quickly is, how important is baptism? Really, how important it is. And I think some of you have this question because I know you are born again, and I know you're not yet baptized. So how important is baptism? If we do a really quick run through, so Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? After they believe. Let me just show you that again real quickly. Here we go. Look at it again. What is the very first step after you've preached the gospel and someone believes? What's the very first step to making a disciple? Ding, 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 ding. Baptizing. It's the first step. You say, huh? Yes, it is. Let's look at how Jesus says it. So the first step in making a disciple, making someone who follows Jesus, not somebody who's religious, not somebody who's a church goer, not somebody who's a good person, but making a disciple. First step when you believe is being baptized. Okay, so Jesus says that to the disciples. Is this symbolic language or does he really mean it? Does he really mean it? Well, let's see what the disciples do. Day of Pentecost. They're waiting in the upper room. They're praying. And suddenly from heaven, the sound like a rushing wind. Was it a rushing wind? Nope. But a sound like a rushing wind came from heaven, filled the room where they were. What seemed to be tongues of fire. They were on each head, and suddenly everyone began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak. That's why when you are baptized in the Spirit, you are not copying what somebody else copies. You are not just repeating sounds. You're not just saying, oh, I'll do what they say, la, 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 and then it somehow becomes the Holy Spirit. No, it comes from God. It comes to you. It comes through you from heaven. And so people come and listen. We know this. And they're convicted. Peter gets up. He starts preaching. And he says, you. Oh, wow. You think I'm a tough preacher? You think I'm tough sometimes, don't you? You think, well, Pastor Jen, you're a little bit tough today. Pastor Peter. You wicked people. You rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And you killed him and put him on the cross. Now, that was preaching. But the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. And they say, what do we do? Because they thought, we have no hope. We've rejected the one that God sent. Have you ever felt you don't have hope? Have you ever felt like I've really blown it now? I've really crossed the line. May I encourage you by this verse and by this passage right here. These are the people that had rejected Jesus and put him on the cross. And you know what Peter said? Repent. Repent. There's a road back to God. And here's what Peter says. He says, each of you, so this happens about maybe 13, 14, 15 days after Jesus says, go preach the gospel, baptizing them. Here's what he says. Repent, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, here's this pattern. Is it the only pattern? It's not the only pattern, but it's one of the patterns. I spoke with, where's Edrilyn this morning? She's wearing bright red. There's Edrilyn. It's her birthday today. It's a big one. No, she's not 50. And she's not 30. It's the other one in the middle. I said, Edrilyn, when you were baptized, did your life change? She said, oh, yes. She said, I was at a youth camp. How old were you, Edrilyn?
Before?
Yeah. Well, not, yeah, before. We know what you are now. What were you then? You were 12. So Francis is going to be baptized May 1st. And I don't want y'all to think, what? He's not even in youth class. Because last Sunday we sat here, and I said, Francis, so I'm not disagreeing, but why do you want to be baptized? And Francis said to me, because I want to have my sins washed away. He understood what it meant, and we talked about it, and he's definitely a Christian. So he's going to be baptized May 1st. So he is 1 year younger than Edralyn was. She was at youth camp. She was not yet a Christian. And first, she repented of her sins and turned to God. Then she was water baptized at the camp. And then after she was water baptized at the camp, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. So there is a pattern for you. There's a pattern. It's not the only pattern, but it's one of the patterns. So those of you who are going to be baptized in water, you may ask the Lord, Lord, as I walk and follow you in obedience, would you baptize me with your Holy Spirit? I spoke with Jen this morning. I said, Jen Aldip. I said, Jen, was there a difference in your heart and your life after you were baptized? And she said, yes. After I was baptized, I had such a strong sense of the Holy Spirit in my life. This is the blessing of the Lord when we obey the Lord. It's the blessing of the Lord. I said, Elizabeth, where's Elizabeth? Can you believe this? There's Elizabeth right there, one of our Bible teachers. I said, Elizabeth, was there a change? She said, yes. I used to have a very bad temper. I can't believe it. Elizabeth is so sweet and gentle. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what obedience to the Lord does. Baptism makes a difference. So here's the first pattern. But notice what Peter says. You must repent of your sins, turn, be baptized, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do they believe him? 241. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and then they had to wait for about a month and prove that they really were Christian. No, before they were baptized. They had to prove that they really were Christians, and they had to take classes to make sure that they had memorized verses about baptism. Is that what it says? What does it say? That day. The best time to be baptized is when you're saved, when you get saved. So some of you who have been sitting on it and waiting, right? Right. Y'all sure have gotten quiet. A few years later, Peter, you know this one, the Cornelius, the Roman centurion, he has a vision. He's not a Jew. He's not yet a Christian, but he's devout. He believes God is the real God, but he doesn't know about Jesus. Peter goes, he begins preaching. As he's preaching, somehow, no altar call, the people that are sitting there, they believe. Are they water baptized? No. They're what? They're spirit baptized. Well, they haven't been water baptized yet. Some things God can do the way he wants to do, right? So here's another pattern for us. But they believed. And then what does Peter say? Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. How long after they believed on Jesus? Right away. Let's go a little bit further. This is Paul and Silas. They're in Philippi. They have delivered through the power of Jesus the demon-possessed slave girl. They are beaten. They're thrown in prison. God sends an earthquake, sets them free, and the jailer rushes to them and fell trembling and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This man is not even religious. He doesn't know about Jesus. He doesn't know about God, but he knows there's something going on. And what do they say? They reply in the middle of the night, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. Listen, may I say something apart from baptism? You are a child of God. If you're a child of God, you are around people, or maybe you are going through situations that are critical, that are dramatic, and things are happening. May I say to you, when you are in circumstances like that, when you are around people that are going through those things, those are the times when you can look to God for him to move in power. And when he does, people's hearts are open. They don't know the answer, but their hearts are open. And that is when you, because you've heard the good news, because your life has already been changed, that's when you say, and here's how you get to know the God that sets people free from prison, and he'll set you free too. And that's what they do. They spoke the word of God, and then what happens? Next, the jailer at that hour of the night. So you know what that means? It must have been maybe 2 a.m. or something like that. He took them. He washed their wounds, I guess because maybe they were bleeding on the kitchen floor. I don't know. And then, what does it say? Immediately, he and all his family were baptized, even before they had a meal. They washed their wounds, and they were baptized. Here's one more. So this answers the question, is it important, right? Here's Paul. He gets saved in Acts chapter 9. In Acts 22, he talks about his testimony to the Roman leaders. Look at what he says. Paul says, a man named Ananias lived there in Damascus. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, well regarded by all the Jews of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, regain your sight. So Saul was already a Christian, right? He was already a Christian. And that very moment, I could see him. And then, what does Ananias say? And now, I love that. This is, you all know this is one of my favorite questions in baptism. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. So if you're a Christian this morning, here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. What are you waiting for? I mean it. What are you waiting for if you've not yet been baptized? Have your sins washed away by calling on the name of the Lord? That's what Francis said when we talked last Sunday morning when we were sitting right here. So this tells us baptism is important. So I want to ask a question real quickly. Why is baptism so important? So I think it's pretty clear it's really important. So the question is, why is it so important? So I talked with Pedro Jr. this morning because Pedro Jr. is going to be water baptized on Wednesday as well. Whoop, whoop. Okay, great. Why is it so important? Look at what Paul says. He is talking to Christians in Rome. They're Christians, and they've all been water baptized, but they are careless in their Christian lives. So let me say that again. They're in Rome. They're already Christians. They've all been water baptized, but they're getting a little bit careless in their Christian lives. Look at what Paul says. Why? So this tells us why baptism is so important. Do you think we should continue sinning so that God will give us more and more grace? Of course not. Our old sinful life ended. It's dead. So how can we continue living in sin? Here you go. You ready? Why is it important? Did you forget that all of us became part of Christ Jesus when we were baptized? We shared his death in our baptism. So when we were baptized, we were buried with Christ and shared his death. And just as Christ was raised from death by the wonderful power of the Father, we can now live a new life. Christ died, and we have been joined with Christ by dying too. So we will also be joined with him by rising from death, as he did. That's why baptism is so important. There are many more scriptures, but I just want you to see that one. Some of you have been baptized in water, and you're like these Roman Christians. You're playing around in your Christian life. You're playing around in your Christian life. So Paul says to you this morning, at this moment when we are, some of you are going to be baptized for the first time, this is a time for those of us who have been water baptized. Paul is speaking to us. You've been water baptized. Have you forgotten what God did in your life? Have you forgotten you were baptized? Have you forgotten what you did in baptism showed what Jesus did in real life? You are united with him. You are identified with him. I talk with people sometimes, and no joke, some people, I don't want to get wet. I look really bad when I get wet. Y'all are laughing, but that's true. People have told me that before. I don't want people to see me wet, you know. Or I'm really busy. Or I don't really need to be water baptized, or any other number of reasons that they're not water baptized when Jesus has done so much for them. And I look at this and I think, and I say to you this morning, if this is you, Jesus identified with you by taking your sin, going to the cross, suffering, being stripped naked before the world, nailed to the cross, taking all the sin of the world, identifying with you, dying, and then rising again. And you can't identify with Jesus by going into the water and saying, I'm dead with Christ, and when I come up, my life is new. Can't you do that? Won't you do that? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? You identify with him. It's a wonderful reminder of what Jesus has done. And that's why you do it. And it's not just a reminder, because things in the spiritual world happen when you are water baptized. Some of you are, you're still struggling in areas. Remember the story I've told you before about a young woman here in Lighthouse who had struggled with demonic dreams and thoughts of suicide, and woke up one morning on the 14th floor in one of the high rises in Hong Kong, and she was climbing out the window of the 14th floor because something was pushing her in her dream to go out the window and just fall out. Straight from the devil. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And when we obey in this most basic area of our Christian lives, I promise you, not because it's me, but because it's Jesus, and it's Jesus who defeated the power of death, the strongest power that at this point that we know on earth, an earthly power, right? Who escapes death? Jesus escapes death. Jesus escapes death. And if you are struggling in some of these areas, I just want to tell you, if you will obey the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism, some of these things in your life will be broken and you will walk free and you will never see them again. You want to know why I can say that with such confidence? Because the Bible says so. Do you want the picture? Here's the picture. Children of Israel in Egypt, God leads them through, what does he lead them through? The Red Sea, right? He leads them through, the water is parted, and the Bible says that's a picture. That's a picture of God's salvation. He leads them through, and they are free. Are they perfect? Nope. They've still got things to work on. But the enemy that held them in bondage, does that enemy ever have them in bondage again? Yes or no? Do they ever get in bondage in Egypt again? Nope. No. The Bible says they were... Oh, it's beautiful. God's words through Moses. He says to the people, the enemy that you see today, you will never see again. And some of you, it is it's a simple step of obedience. If you will follow the Lord, what he's saying in water baptism, he is saying, this enemy that you're struggling with, that you've been in bondage to, you will never see him again if you will take this step. Can you get free? You cannot get free. He's stronger than you are, but he's not stronger than Jesus. And one of the things that obedience does through water baptism is it says, we're dead, those things are gone, and we rise what? We rise in new life. Look at my t-shirt. Thank you, Jocelyn. New life. New life. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let me skip. Oh. Who witnesses your baptism? Very, very quickly. I'm skipping a bunch, but you're... So let me say this before I... Who witnesses your baptism? Just by what we have said right now, do you see why if you have been sprinkled by baptism, why the Bible doesn't give that picture The Bible gives the picture of immersion. You go all the way under. Why? Because that shows how Jesus died. He was buried, and then he came up again. They didn't take the body of Jesus somewhere, put it on the ground, and sprinkle a little bit of dirt on his body, right? What did they do with his body? They buried it, and then he came up again. That's the picture of baptism. The word in the New Testament, baptism, is baptizo. It's a Greek word. It's used 77 times, and every single time it means to submerge, to fully immerse. That's what it means. That's what it means. So if this morning you have been, you are a Christian, and you have been sprinkled as an infant, I don't want you to feel any condemnation. Were your parents sincere when they did that? Yes, they were. Were your parents doing what they knew to do? Yes, they did. Was it a pledge of good? Yes, it was. But the pattern we see in the Bible is you hear, you repent, you believe, and you choose. It's your choice. So what I say this morning is if your baptism was chosen for you at some point earlier in your life, but now as a grown-up or knowing enough, you say, I am a Christian, I urge you to choose for yourself because you have repented, because you believe. And then you follow Jesus. You identify with him. So who's going to witness your baptism? You will. That's really important. You say, well, of course, duh, I'm the one that's going under the water. But here's why it's important. You and I need things in our lives that we can point to. This was a decision that I made. This is something that I did. I decided to follow Jesus. And when you struggle and when you have temptations, you come back to that point, right? You come back to that point. Do you still struggle? Yeah, you still struggle. Do you still slip sometimes? Yeah, you still may slip. You still may slip. But you can say, but I decided to follow Jesus. Married couples, have you ever looked at your spouse and thought, I have heard marriage is not easy at times. I don't know. It's not so bad with cats, you know. But marriage is not always easy, is it? But you made a commitment, didn't you? And I imagine sometimes when you're struggling a little bit, you look down at that wedding ring on your finger. Yeah? And you are reminded, I committed myself to this person, and they committed themselves to me. I'm sticking with it. We're going to get through this. And sometimes water baptism is like that. I committed. Jesus, I'm sticking with you. So you witness it yourself. God witnesses it, and he's paying attention. He's going to bless you for that. The devil witnesses it, and he takes notice because it's important. And you know what? People around you witness it. We're coming to a close. But I want you to see this. Now, if your picture is not up here, please don't be offended. Junior's looking pretty sandy there. And so is Jeremy. Can you see it? His skin is a different color right now. In fact, I was talking with Pedro Jr. this morning, and I think this was 2019 in Lunque. I'm pretty sure when I was talking with Junior, I still saw some sand in his hair. I'm pretty sure. This was 2019. Now, take a look. Who witnesses baptism? The people around you. And that's why I hope you're going to be here on Wednesday for water baptism. And I hope you're going to invite your friends and your family. Take a look at this again. This is the point I'm making much more interestingly because we have the pictures. Okay? Now, they weren't standing out by the water, but they were there. I remember it. They obviously had fun in the sand. I don't know what Mom thought about that, and I don't know how many times she washed his clothes. But Jeremy, when were you water baptized? This was 2019. When were you water baptized?
Last year.
At Gold Coast. Jeremy was there in 2019, and he was a witness to others being water baptized. Junior? Pedro Junior? Should I call you something else now? I don't know. 2019, Lunke, 5 years ago, he's going to be water baptized on Wednesday. Come back over here. I love this picture. This was listening to testimonies as people were preparing to be water baptized. There's Jeremy, just the edge. And he was really listening. Can you tell he was really listening? And who's that? Is he listening or is he playing around? He's listening. 4 years ago, he's going to be baptized this Wednesday. And our water baptisms are testimonies to others. They are. They make a difference. So, Stephen, if you would just come, we're going to have, I know it's going a little bit later, but stay with it. Don't start switching focus. We're just going to have some time to commit and recommit. If you have been water baptized and you say, but I didn't have it all together. Herna's going to be water baptized this Wednesday. You say, oh, but she's a Christian. She is. She was when she was baptized, but she was pushed into it, and it wasn't so much her own decision, and it wasn't, the significance of it was not really meaningful to her. And so she asked me, may I be baptized again because of this? So what I said was, I think it's a little bit of a gray area, but you do what God puts in your heart to do, and I'm happy to baptize you again. And she said, yes, I want to be baptized. It's okay. And there may be some others as well who are going to be water baptized. So I need to see you after the service because we've got to talk, and you got to get a T-shirt, right? If you've not yet accepted Jesus this morning and you say, but my heart is stirred, you're not ready to be baptized, but you are ready to make a decision. You're ready to say yes to Jesus and then be water baptized on Wednesday. While we were worshiping, the Lord gave me an example. Don't feel put on the spot, but this was the example he gave me. What if in your life you lived a Christian life and you walked with Jesus just as strongly and vigorously and wholeheartedly as you play rugby? I'm serious. Now, I'm not putting you on the spot. Although, my goddaughter, have you been water baptized yet? All right. I got to make sure my god kids are water baptized. But that was the example. Now, if you're a sporter, as we used to say in China, I'm not saying, oh, you're putting me on the spot. No, but that was the example the Lord gave me. So if that's describing your Christian life, you know what you do this morning? If you've not yet been water baptized, buddy, get water baptized. And by the way, this Wednesday, Gold Coast, 10 a.m., we're going to have a water baptism. If you have been water baptized, stop. And you've been playing around, stop playing around. It's too serious. It's the devil or the Lord. The devil doesn't give up. The Lord doesn't give up. Which way are you going to go? Get serious about it. Get serious about it. So for you, this morning is the time to recommit. It's the time to recommit. Say, God, I've been playing around. I don't want to play around. So we're just going to, there you go, and then we're going to sing. You know this verse. You know this, don't you? So we're going to take some time to commit to the Lord and recommit to the Lord and make some decisions for the Lord just in this time as we close in worship this morning. You've heard a lot this morning. You've heard enough to make a decision if you need to make a decision. And you need to do what the Holy Spirit is guiding you in your heart and what the Bible tells you. Amen? If you want to remain seated, you can, but I'm going to invite you to stand because you've been seated for a while. And if you want to sing, you can sing, but you don't have to.
I have decided.
Now's the time to decide. Now's the time to decide. Yep. Stop playing around. Ready to decide? Jesus, I've heard you. You've been tugging my heart. And now, this morning, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I have decided.
I have decided
to
follow Jesus.
Oh,
no. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
The cross before me. Decide now.
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Decide.
Will you decide now?
Will you decide now
to follow Jesus?
Oh,
will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back.
I want to give you a chance. You've been singing together as a group. They're going to keep playing. I want to give us a chance this morning. If you are deciding now to be baptized, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and keep it up. If you are deciding this morning for the first time, God, I'm really going to follow you. I really mean it. I'm going to go after you in the same way I've gone after other things in my life. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If this morning you are saying, I'm going to, as others are going to be baptized and making a first commitment, I am going to recommit this morning. I'm going to recommit. I'm going to refresh and renew. I think back to that time. Lord, I refresh that and I renew that. So I'm going to invite you as we sing that. As we sing this again, I've decided one more time. I'm going to invite you just to raise your hands if that's you this morning. You can come forward if you want to, or just raise your hands if you're going to be water baptized, if you're choosing for the first time, if you are recommitting. And again, yes, Lord, I chose you, and I'm choosing you again. Amen. I have
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Amen. Anyone closed in this way. Some of you raised your hands. Gake, I'm so proud. I'm proud of all of you. Because I talked with Gake on the beach a year ago. And he said, I'm not quite ready. Let me think about it. I said, okay. Is that what I think it means? Yes? Amen. 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 So, amen. Yes, Lerma. So people around you, yes, Ruth, yes, others, you've raised your hands. So what we're, Junior's raised his hand. We're going to, those of you that are around them, just do you mind if we put our hand on you? Can we do that? And we're just going to pray for you right now. We're going to pray that between now and Wednesday, God's just going to give you an extra measure of grace and blessing. You're already taking a step of obedience, and God. Amen. So wave your hand one more time. We want to make. Okay, right here, Panina. Somebody pray for Panina. Somebody pray for Herna. Right here too, Panina. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And over here also. Ready? Okay, let's pray. Let's pray God's blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Oh, come to
Hallelujah.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness
is holy. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us this morning. Hallelujah.
Oh, come, Hallelujah. Oh, come to
Hallelujah.
Verse 1. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? And mistakes.
Yes.
Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born.
Was bought with
the
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we come to your presence with us. Lord, thank you for everyone who has made a decision to walk with you today. Lord, we are grateful. Amen. 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 So, I got to wrap it up because some of you are about to fall off from hunger. But this is what we want to do. Somebody who's strong. Keith and Tobias. Melrose, would you go with them? Run upstairs to the fourth floor and get the just Tobias. Keith, your son can handle it. Don't. Yeah. Get these t-shirts. We want to make sure you. No la. I know what I'm doing. If you're going to be baptized on Wednesday, we've got a t-shirt for you. And we need your name, right? So that one, Ida. Would you go get the sign-up sheet? Would you just print your name on it so we'll know? We will baptize you on Wednesday. You need to be at Gold Coast. Be there before 10, okay, so we can make sure. Hey, don't be late, folks, because we want to hear the testimonies, right? We want to rejoice. Then we'll walk down to the beach. Then we'll come back. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then one other thing. Ushers, over there on that corner, we do have other t-shirts. May and who else is an usher? Mercy and Bengal. Miriam. We have a slightly different t-shirt. It has a different thing right here, but everything else is the same. And if you want to support your brothers and sisters, this is below cost, well below cost. If you'd like a baptism t-shirt that is almost the same, it has this on the back, it has this on the front, it has something a little bit different there. They're available over there for $40, okay? And you can wear it on Wednesday as we celebrate with our brothers and sisters who are going to be water baptized. We are so proud of you. We rejoice with you. We celebrate with you. Amen? Praise God for what He's going to do. So if you're going to be water baptized, come sign up. And don't leave. Got to give you a t-shirt. If you want to go get a companion t-shirt, they're right over there. Okay? God bless you for a great day. Here we go. Thank you, sir.